Well, hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is your co-host, Brian Brown. This is Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. This is the Lifeway Christian Resources headquarters. And at the very top, Mike, the apex of this building,
the ninth floor,
reaching toward the sky, is the B.B. McKinney Studios.
Right here. Yeah. And we have our engineer, Tim Henning.
Tim Henning. Who sat in for me several weeks back,
yep.
But
he
now
struggled.
He's back in the engineer role.
He struggled with the sign-off.
I understand. Yep. I think it's best that we all stay, you know, in our lane, as it were.
No, but as a pinch hitter,
yes.
I've got to say, he did a good job.
And
Lindsay Delp, our producer,
yes,
is right over here in the corner.
She is. And
you think she's listening to us right now? Because she looks
she
like she's doing
an email.
She seems
a little distracted.
She
yeah.
does.
But I think that sometimes she just makes it look easy, Mike. She's
That's
such a professional.
That's what
that it
is.
That it looks easy. Much like when you're leading worship. It's the same thing.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Or when you're singing.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Hey, Mike, today we've got a really special topic. You've got a new book releasing this
month.
I have
a new book. And yeah. I am so excited about this. A lot of folks will remember. I when I first came to Lifeway, mm-hmm. now going on 14 years ago,
wow, that's
right. my second year here, I started working on a book with my friend Stan Moser,
yeah.
and we wrote a book called Seven Words of Worship, which Lifeway turned into a Bible study as well. That
right.
book did really well. I was very, very grateful I got to be part of that. The way that book was written and my friend Stan Moser, it's all about really him, but Stan and I would sit and talk about worship. An hour on end in kind of an orchestrated way. He would record those conversations. And then he went back to his typewriter and wrote a manuscript based on the ways I talked about worship. So it's not really accurate to say I co-wrote the book. It's like I spoke the book. Stan wrote it. He yeah. based on our conversations.
In Stan's yeah. defense, I mean, you and he have both been around a while, but I think it was a word processor, not a typewriter.
but yes.
You recorded the
yeah,
words.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. And of course, Stan added his own content and his yeah. own convictions, and we worked through all of those principles together. But Seven Words of Worship became a book that churches would read and worship teams would go through, and
right.
very, very grateful. And I didn't know if I would ever write another book. I didn't really have designs to write another book. There was a short time in my life, about 5 years ago, I had crafted a message that I was speaking on a lot of places called the Ezra Generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I pondered the idea of writing that book, a book based on those teachings about today's young leader and those attributes like Ezra. That book was, in some ways, I wrote it, but I never published it. It just kind of was on my laptop all that time. And then Dr. Rainer
yeah.
intervened. Dr. Rainer, our president, invited me, this was now 2 years ago, invited me to be a guest on his podcast. And his podcast is called Rainer on Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've had a couple of podcasts when he's come and been on this one.
Right.
So
that's right.
Folks could look at those, and it's fascinating to hear him talk. Dr. Rainer talks perhaps to more pastors than anybody in the world.
I think that's probably true.
A lot of pastors follow Dr. Rainer because not so much for preaching purposes, but they follow Dr. Rainer because Dr. Rainer is a researcher at heart.
Right.
He's a guy that studies things and analyzes things. And for many, many years, long before he came to Lifeway, he was studying the church and identifying things about the church and passing that information along to pastors. And when he came to Lifeway, we started Lifeway Research, and he took that up a whole nother level
yeah.
where he began to talk to pastors about church trends and church weaknesses and all these things. And of course, the reception to his leadership in all those areas has been amazing. Well, he invited me on his podcast one time and wanted to talk about worship. So we have a very fun and interesting conversation about worship. And Jonathan Howe is the host of Dr. Yeah. Rainer's podcast. And a couple of days after that aired, I got a message from Dr. Rainer that podcast, the first one I did with him, became the most downloaded podcast he had ever had. And I'm like, what? I mean, because he had had some that, I mean, he's millions of downloads of his podcast
oh, yeah.
happen all every year. So I couldn't believe it. I said, and he said, well, let's do a second one. So I was back in there a couple of weeks later. I did a second one. It aired, and it replaced the first one as the most downloaded wow. ever. And then I did a third one, a fourth one, and then before long for that year, Dr. Rayner had me in once a month. We'd record two at a time. So I've done maybe 15 different podcasts with Dr. Rayner. I don't know if that's the right number, but something like that. Yeah. And he actually has grouped them on his website. If you go to TomRayner.com, if you do TomRayner.com/worship guru, that's what he nicknamed me that, which I don't necessarily embrace that, but that's what he, to this day, he calls me guru every time he sees me. But you'll see all the podcasts that are, that Dr. Rayner and I did. And pastors, this is what was something that, I didn't anticipate. Pastors responded to these podcasts with amazing comments. And Dr. Rayner knew, and I knew, that we had stumbled onto something here that pastors really wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, I want to, I'm not trying to be falsely humble when I say this. I really mean what I'm about to say. This really had nothing to do with me. What it was about was it helped us understand that pastors need to talk about issues around worship, and but do it in a way that it's not about music per se, and it's not about, it's not a theological discovery of worship theology. That's not what this book is at all. This book is grows out of those dozens and dozens of conversations with pastors that I have, where we're literally sitting across the table from each other with cups of coffee, and they're wanting to talk about worship ministry in their church. And what I do in this book is I talk to church leaders and pastors, worship leaders, and I say, if there is a healthy worship culture in your church, there's going to be some essential values that are present. And I call out four essential values that are present in a healthy worship culture. And I do that from a biblical perspective. I would never presume to come up with four things on my own, but these four principles come from the Word of God and what we see in Scripture. I'm sure that people that are smarter than me, and there are a lot that are, could find more things from the Scripture they could point to. But these are the four that I have found, and they also grow out of my conversations with church leaders and pastors across the country and across the world about worship. And when I say about worship, I'm not talking about music style. I'm not talking about contemporary, modern, blended, or any of those things. I'm talking about attributes of a worship culture of a church when it's healthy. And these four values, the book's divided into those four sections, and I chase those four values. And what the book's intended to do, Brian, really, it's not even a comprehensive message in the sense that this book contains it all. It really is intended to be a discussion starter, because what I've found when I talk to pastors about this is my interaction with these pastors, I ask a lot of questions, and it's really a tool to help church leaders look at what they're doing in worship ministry and hopefully identify whether or not what they're doing is biblically authentic and healthy for the sake of the congregation's health.
It's great. So the book is called Worship Essentials. And do you have the exact release date yet, Mike?
Yeah, B&H Publishers, which is the book division of Lifeway. You know, it releases November 1st.
November 1st.
So
okay.
Even on October 16th, if you go to lifeway.com, you can
pre-order
it. That's already true today. It can be pre-ordered, but on November 1st it releases. It will be in Lifeway stores, and certainly Lifeway Worship will help people find it.
Yeah.
When I told Dr. Rayner after all those podcasts we did together, I said, Dr. Rayner, I think I ought to write a book about some of this. And he said, well, it's about time. and of course, I don't have the option of just saying publish my book. I mean, I had to go through the proposal process like any author at approaching B&H would have to do. But I'm so grateful to Jennifer Lyle. She's head of publishing for B&H Books. Mm-hmm. And Taylor Combs, who is manuscript acquisition editor for B&H. Devin Maddox.
Yeah.
Kim Stanford, who did the final copy editing on this book. I'm so grateful to the B&H team, because they are, I know I'm proud because they're part of the Lifeway family, but B&H Books is the best publisher in Christian publishing today, in my opinion. And I think I'd feel that way if they weren't part of Lifeway, but they just are the best of the best of the best. And when I look at what they're releasing and the authors that, and I look at my little book coming in there, I'm like, man, why in the world would they give me a slot? But I'm so appreciative that B&H wanted to do the book. They were excited about it. And that team got around me and helped me do it and helped me finish it. And Dr. Rayner wrote the foreword to it, and which I was really, really blessed. And Keith Getty and Travis Cottrell and Jim Shaddix, they wrote endorsements and all of that, others. So Stan Moser, my old co-author, my pastor, Mike Glenn, he encouraged me along the way. So I'm just blown away that I got to do this. And the point of it is to help churches. Here's what I hope happens. Yeah. I hope when people read the book, that the book will give them a way to talk about worship that keeps it from chasing those rabbit trails that don't lead anywhere. Should we do contemporary? Should we do traditional? Those rabbit trails don't lead anywhere because you can answer that question and do what you say you're supposed to do and not even come close to a healthy worship culture. There are more important questions to answer, and there are more important values to pursue. And that's what Worship Essentials is all about. The subtitle of the book is Growing a Healthy Worship Culture Without Starting a War.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And here's what I've found. When churches get the simple part of worship right in their congregational worship experiences, the little preferences and opinion kinds of debates dissipate really, really quickly. Where you have spiritual momentum in worship, the arguments over carpet color and sound system and piano or organ or drums or worship team or choir, those arguments dissipate very quickly in a healthy worship culture because very quickly Jesus is at the center of it, and he all of the attention goes to him. And I hope this book will help churches have that conversation. The book's not prescriptive. I don't give you do these 20 things and you'll have a healthy worship culture.
Right.
And the main reason I don't do that is because I don't know what those are.
Right.
What the book does do is call out four values that I believe are present when a healthy worship culture is in a church.
Amen. So it's Worship Essentials by Mike Harland. It officially releases on November the 1st, but it's available now at lifeway.com. And there are four key essentials you talked about. Mike, I'd love, while we have the podcast, I don't want you to give the whole book away. Obviously, we don't have time to unpack all of that here. But what are the four worship essentials that you lift up? Maybe just at least in title and get the guys listening to a little bit of an idea what you're talking about.
Well, I'm glad to do that. The book starts with a chapter on how do we identify what worship is, and then we call out the first value, telling the story. And the story we're telling is his story, Jesus' story, but it's also our story. And I talk about there is an element of story inside a healthy worship culture where we are constantly focusing on Jesus and what he did and what he's doing and his plans and his purposes and his presence. But we're also sharing in a healthy way our story of how he comes into our lives, how he changes our lives. There is a sense of testimony in a healthy worship culture. And that's not always a person grabbing a mic and talking about, I was born at this, you know, here and all. It's not necessarily just that kind of story. It's that week-to-week story where that person, man, I get emotional thinking about it, where that person says in a small group Bible study, here's what God did in my life this week.
Amen.
I think the modern church, I think one of the big misses of many modern churches is there's no room for people's stories.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So the first value is telling the story, his story primarily, certainly with preeminence, his story. Colossians 1, all the fullness of God dwells in him. That story's got to be told. He came to earth. He lived a sinless life. He died a sacrificial death. He rose victorious on the third day. He's coming again to receive us. And if we'll ask him, he'll forgive us of our sin. Tell that story over and over and over and over. In the songs we sing and the sermons we preach, that story is present. But the other stories are there too. What he's done in my life, how he helped me through this, how he gave me, provided here and all that. So telling the story is number one. Number two is making true disciples. I believe worship ministry is a disciple-making ministry first and foremost.
Yeah.
It can't be just driven by music and the articulation and the execution of music. There has to be a spiritual dynamic and a disciple-making dynamic. And this sounds cliche to say it like this, but I learned many years ago, God did not call me to make music. He called me to make disciples.
Amen.
And the organization I lead in my church has got to do more than finally produce a music experience. It's got to be an organization that's disciple making. And I would tell any music leader out there, if you want your pastor and your church leaders to be excited about your ministry, make your ministry a disciple making ministry, and they will not fight you at budget time. They will not resent the calendar request you make. They will actually try to find ways to help you, because when you are making disciples in worship ministry, you are contributing to the whole mission of the church.
Yeah, Mike, I think of a recent guest we had that talked about the choir in his church are the leaders in missions. They're the leaders in the church. If you need somebody, if a pastor needs some a group of people in the church to get something done, he knows to call on that choir.
Yeah, so that's right. So that's the second value, making true disciples. The third value is called engaging the body. So a healthy worship ministry is one in which the church and the congregation is engaged in it.
Yeah.
They're not watching it. We don't come to church to watch something. We come to church to be something. Now, see, notice I didn't say do something.
Right.
I said there are things we do, but we do them because of who we are. Mm-hmm. We actually come to church to be the body of Christ. And this congregational experience is one where the body is engaged in what's happening. They're not sitting in a theater with the lights blacked out, watching a bunch of musicians sing. That's not healthy. That's going to lead down a path that's not going to be good. It's not going to produce anything. Passive worshipers tend to be passive Christians. Mm-hmm. We don't want passivity in our worship. We want active, vibrant, engaged congregations. Mm-hmm. And that's the third principle. If you go to a healthy worship ministry and you stand in the back of the room, everybody's engaged.
Yeah,
everybody's engaged. They're part of it. But if you go to a church where it's driven by artistry, stand in the back of the room, everybody's arms folded, and they're watching it happen. They may love it. They may think it's great. And when they're on their way to their car, they're saying, man, I really enjoyed that today. But they also enjoyed Elton John's concert, too. It doesn't change a life to go watch something. You got to go be something. And a healthy worship ministry understands how important congregational engagement is. Now, there is one part of that part of the book that I think churches are going to, it'd be interesting to see how they respond to this.
Right.
I have a chapter called Worship Segregation.
Okay.
And I talk about generational segregation in our worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to be an important part of that message, and there are going to be churches read that, and they're going to have to grapple with what I say there. And there may be some people that really want to argue with what I say, and they can be wrong if they want. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. There's other ways to think about things than just the way I think about them. But the worship segregation chapter is one I'm really interested in. And another chapter I'll call out is I've got one called Artists and Shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about the role of the leader. Are we an artist or are we a shepherd? And what's the difference and what's that look like? So
yeah.
Engaging the body is the third principle. Do you want to know what number four is?
I'm okay. On the edge of my seat.
Yeah, you've got your whole seat, but you
only need the edge of it.
Number four is aspiring with purpose.
I
had a lot of fun writing the fourth chapter. Aspiring for excellence and greatness, but with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that purpose is so the gospel goes out unhindered. So I talk about being enemies of the distractions that are mm-hmm. in our ministries, mm-hmm. Et cetera, and designing and developing a ministry that eliminates everything around it that is distracting from the gospel and from the worship of God's people going forth unhindered. And so I call out the value of worship ministries pursuing a excellence in everything they do, but excellence for the purpose of the gospel.
Yeah,
there's a difference. And so those are the four values. Tell the story, make disciples, engage the body, aspire with purpose. And then I've got a closing illustration in the concluding chapter I think people will find meaningful. And hopefully, as I said before, this book can help start a conversation between a pastor, a worship pastor, church leaders, so that you can call out these values in your church and hopefully have a healthy worship culture.
Such an important conversation, Mike, and I'm so thankful that God led you to write the book, Worship Essentials, and I hope that a lot of our listeners will take advantage of this opportunity to re-engage their pastor, if they haven't already or don't on a consistent basis, with this discussion of what a healthy worship ministry looks like and the importance of lifting that conversation beyond things like musical style and into the deeper issues of the faith and why we're there and why the worship service service exists. We want to thank you for joining us today on the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harland. Please email us, especially those of you that get the book. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your feedback, and let us know if it spurs any conversations with you, your pastor, and your church on this important topic. You can email us, worship@lifeway.com. At that same email address, you can share prayer requests. People do that all the time, Mike, and it's one of the great thrills we have is to hear from people all over the world that are listening into this podcast, and they let us know how we can pray for them specifically, and our team loves doing that.
You know what I love, too?
Yeah, Mike.
I was at the Getty Conference a few weeks ago, and to have people walk up and say, man, I listened to your podcast. Yeah. I think that just means so much to us. And a minister of music would write or call or whatever. But we run into people out there on the road talking about the blog and the podcast. And you just cannot know how encouraging that is to us when you share that. Because we really do. We're not here to give us something to do.
We've
got things to do. But we really do want to encourage you. And when you share that with us, it means the world to us. So help us do that better. Tell us what we can do to help you. But thank you for the encouragement you give us along the way.
Like saying, sick them to a dog. Yep. But yeah, it is great. It's great to see so many of you. We hope you'll come see us when you're in town here at Lifeway and come see the facilities here, our new building. We're really, really proud of it. Worship Essentials by Mike Harland, available for pre-order now at lifeway.com. And we thank you for joining us today on the Worship Life Podcast. We look forward to getting back together and talking about music and worship very soon.